Hey everybody, it's Alonzo Bowden and I'm here again talking to you about driving with Uber. Why am I talking to you about it again? Because it's a great idea. It's a really great opportunity to make some legitimate money. I know, you already make legitimate money, or you're wondering who doesn't make legitimate money. I'm not sure. I think I have some listeners who might be a little shaky. Anyway, forget about that. Why do you want to drive with Uber? If you've taken an Uber, you know what a great experience it is, and it's the drivers who make that experience great. Every time I talk with someone who drives an Uber, they're happy. They're having a good time. It's a cool job. They're making good money. They're meeting people. And listen, I'm in New York right now. I'm in Manhattan. You have any idea how much easier it is to get around Manhattan with an Uber? Sure, there's a million cabs in Manhattan, but there's always a million and one people flagging them down. How much better is it to have someone coming directly to pick you up? That's the beauty of Uber. Now, what's the beauty on the driving side? Well, first of all, you get to be your own boss. How great is that? Like I said, you're going to make some money, and it's an easy gig. What do you need to start? You need a car and a driver's license. You probably already have both of those. Driving with Uber, great for flexibility. You're a parent. You got to work around your kids' schedules. You can do it. You're a student. You can only work between classes or on weekends. You can do it. Right now is the prime time to cash in on driving with Uber. You're going to thank me because you're going to get paid every week. Who knows? Maybe I'll be a passenger. We'll meet. We could talk. What are you waiting for? You have a car. You have a license. Put them both to good use and start earning serious money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drivewithuber.com. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 114 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Thanks to everyone out there listening. I am in New York City. I'm working at Caroline's this weekend. I am about a block from Times Square. And let me tell you something. Times Square during the summer, man, to say it's busy is a total understatement. But it has to be one of the most fun and funniest places to walk around. Now, if you've never been here, you've no doubt seen pictures of Times Square. We all know about the lights and the billboards and the Broadway shows. Forget about that. There is the funniest competition going on amongst the stuffed and costumed characters outside. Now, I don't know where you've been if you haven't seen this phenomenon, but guys and women dress up. I've seen Iron Man, Spider-Man, Superman. I've seen two guys in the creepiest baby masks wearing diapers. Elmo's a crowd favorite. Various Disney princesses. And a few guys playing the old I'm a human statue wearing body paint. Let me tell you something. If you're panhandling in Times Square, you got some competition because there's some true talent in the streets. But the funniest thing is watching them. Hey, they take random breaks. They might be smoking, a new generation. They might be vaping a little bit, but they're wearing the costume, and then they just take the helmet or mask off and become ordinary person again. And I'm like, you walk a block away. Don't stand in the middle of Times Square with your Iron Man helmet off having a cigarette. It ruins it for the kids. The kids want to at least believe you might know Iron Man or something. Iron Man shouldn't be smoking. That's my point. But it's a lot of fun. Going to be a good week. And, you know, this has been a relatively lightweight week in the news, which is kind of nice. What does a lightweight news week mean? It means Donald Trump hasn't been talking too much. Now, yeah, I guess now you have to talk about Donald Trump, even though you don't want to, even though he's not really going to be president. He's news. It's slow. Let's talk about the Donald. You probably know he had a little thing with Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly, I like to call her Fox News' all-American white woman. I mean, you know, thin, blonde, young. smart and conservative. It is everything Fox News wants. And if you have any doubt about that, Google Fox News female and look how many thin blonde women. Never mind. She questioned Donald Trump about things he said about women, calling them slobs and fat pigs and blah, 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 blah. Of course, Donald tried to joke it off as he was only talking about Rosie O'Donnell. That joke felt flat. Then Donald said Megan was mean. And then a few days later, he said that Megan might be bleeding from her ears or somewhere else, obviously doing a very bad joke about a woman being on her period. And people got mad. People got mad, except the Donald supporters. The Donald supporters hung in there, hung strong. Fox News even got mad at Donald for about a day and a half before they had him back on Fox and Friends in the morning. They made up really quick. Roger Ailes, the head of Fox News, claimed that everything was, that's all bullshit. But, you know, Megyn Kelly, I have to say, she is at times neutral as a journalist. I don't know if neutral is the right word, but she's the one who questioned Dick Cheney. She hit Dick Cheney pretty hard about the Iraq war, and she did hit the Donald pretty hard during the debate. And, you know, I have a friend, John Fugelsang, who has a brilliant show on Sirius XM Channel 121 called Tell Me Everything. And he said all the liberals are on Megan's side. Slow down. I don't know that all liberals are on Megan's side. Now, they might feel for her in that the period joke's a low shot, but this is the same woman who said, don't worry, kids, Santa Claus is still white. So, you know, that anyway, Megan's going on vacation. Megan's going on vacation. She announced it on her show. She's taking a week and a half off. A lot of people, especially a lot of Donald supporters, hit her about this week and a half vacation being a result of the heat from Donald Trump. Now, to her credit, she hasn't gotten into a Twitter fight with him or anything like that. But who knows? Who knows what the impetus? The funny thing about this vacation for me is her talking about, I need a vacation. It's been 6 months since I had a vacation. Mind you, this announcement came from her assistant. Megan, I have bad news for you, okay? And I'm not talking about me because I'm a comic and I love my job. And if I ever say I work hard, you're entitled to hit me with a stick. But, Megan, most people don't get a two-week vacation every 6 months, okay? Most people, I would say, are lucky at this point in how we treat labor in the United States. They're lucky if they get a week a year in vacation. So you might want to slow down before you tell, oh, man, it's so hard. I'm going to have to spend a week and a half relaxing with the assistant and the nanny taking care of everything. Again, stop it. Your credibility's shaky on this one. Enjoy your vacation. Don't talk about it. You know, I think that's the thing. If you have a really good job, if you're in entertainment or something like that, anything like where you know, you enjoy the perks, and the perks are fantastic, but don't start talking like you work in the real world. Don't start telling, you know, the truck driver or the dishwasher or the, you know, whoever, how hard you work and how you need time off, because you really. Now, being a journalist, it's a job. There's a lot of research to be done, and then hair and makeup's got to take 2 hours every day, but slow down on how hard you work. And that's it. That's it. That's all I got on the Donald. He's made some other idiot statements, but, you know, I admire Megyn Kelly for not lowering herself to the Twitter fight, but I'd slow down on I need a vacation. Life is so hard. Sesame Street is moving to HBO, and this is very interesting, besides the obvious jokes, but I actually learned something in reading about this. Sesame Street was started in 1967. And the interesting thing about Sesame Street, what made Sesame Street possible was federal funding. Now, before the right wing goes crazy about funding public television and all, keep in mind, PBS is less than 1% of 1/100th It's less than 0.01% of the federal budget. In other words, it's the pennies the federal government loses in the couch cushion. So it's okay. But anyway, producer Joan Ganz Cooney got the idea for Sesame Street in 1967. And what happened, there was the Economic Opportunity Act of 1964, which established Head Start and so on, also had money for public broadcasting. And she came up with the idea of doing this show, Sesame Street, because at that time, 97% of households had televisions. And she said, it would be great if we had a show that would teach kids, you know, how to read and letters and numbers and so on. And if it came on TV, because so many people are too poor or can't go to Head Start, the kids could learn by watching TV. Now, needless to say, it was an unimaginable success. We all remember Sesame Street growing up, whether you're rich, poor, or whatever. We all watched Sesame Street. You learned something about Sesame Street, Bert, Ernie, the Cookie Monster, Big Bird. We love these characters. They're all right down the street from me in Times Square. You can get hustled for a few bucks taking a picture with Big Bird if you're interested. But anyway, that's all. Well, now, the irony of Sesame Street going to HBO is HBO is pay television. So the show that started expressly with the idea of helping poor children will now be available to rich children. Not to say poor kids don't have HBO, but it's just kind of funny. You're going to have to pay to watch Sesame Street. Now, the good thing about this is not necessarily a bad thing, because without the money that HBO is bringing, they couldn't keep Sesame Street in production. I mean, it doesn't make any money. And all the episodes will be available on PBS about 6 months after they're on HBO. So there'll be a little delay. Might be a few spoiler alerts. Cookie Monster switches cookies or something like Elmo's no longer ticklish, that sort of thing. I don't think that HBO is going to throw in too much of a Game of Thrones kind of vibe, or a girl's kind of vibe or anything like that. I think Sesame Street will be safe, but it's funny. It's funny to me that it was designed for poor people to help them, and now you got to pay to watch it. Oh, well, this is America. Onward and upward. That's progress, right? I don't know. Maybe. I'll tell you what is progress. Here's progress for you. Football players are now hitting other football players. Now, you've probably heard this story. Geno Smith, who is, and we soon may be saying was, but he's the quarterback for the New York Jets, and he got knocked out. And I'm looking for the player's name. You have to forgive me. I am trying to do this show in a hotel. I don't know what it is with hotels and bad Wi-Fi. I mean, Wi-Fi is not some new super technology, but apparently Wi-Fi is something that hotels aren't too interested in. So I've got really bad Wi-Fi, and trying to look up things and read them while I'm doing my podcast ain't easy. But anyway, Geno Smith, the quarterback for the New York Jets, was knocked out by, here it is, I'll have it in a minute. He knocked out by a 6-round draft choice on the team. Ike Enepali, we'll just call him a 6-round draft choice. Apparently, the story is getting bigger and bigger, but apparently Geno Smith was supposed to show up at a camp that this guy was running. Geno didn't show up. This guy wanted the $600 that he spent. Maybe it was money spent on a plane ticket or a hotel or something like that. And Geno told him, man, screw you, you ain't getting paid. And he knocked Geno's ass out, punched him, broke his jaw. Now, this guy immediately was cut from the Jets. The good thing for him is Rex Ryan, the Jets coach, was fired by the Jets last year. He's with Buffalo this year. He immediately picked the guy up as sort of a screw you to the Jets. Geno Smith is going to miss 6 to 10 weeks, probably going to miss the beginning of the season, may miss the whole month of October. So football players are hitting football players. They're not hitting women. They're not hitting children. They're punching other players in the mouth. I call that growth. Now, this, I don't even know where to start with this, but I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you one thing about football, okay? We always talk about how manly football is. Football is a soap opera. Are you kidding? This is like a Young and the Restless plot line. Okay, quarterback spurns sixth round player punches quarterback. Sixth round player gets fired, but is hired by coach who was spurned by the team last season and is with a new team. You see what I'm saying? Pretty soon, somebody's going to come back from the dead. We thought they were dead, and now they're back. Suddenly, Mark Sanchez is once again the starting quarterback of the Jets, or something like that. I don't know. Not that Mark Sanchez was dead, but he was dead to the Jets. Maybe there'll be a Tim Tebow sighting. It is a soap opera. It is a soap, and you don't believe it's a soap opera? Well, let's look at Deflategate, okay? This thing with Tom Brady being, you know, did he know about the underinflated footballs or didn't he know about the underinflated footballs? Is the penalty just or is the penalty too severe? Now it's in a courtroom. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. It's in a courtroom. A judge is wasting time on this. This shouldn't be in a courtroom. This is something that the NFL should have a rule. Your football's underinflated. You're cheating. You miss X number of games. We're done. Okay? It's ridiculous, but it's funny. So it's all good. I'm telling you, there's not a lot of stories going on. That's why I'm talking about this stuff. I personally had an interesting experience this past week. I was on the nightly show with Larry Wilmore, my first time, and I was looking forward to it. And we had kind of a weird topic. The topic, and you may have heard about this, is that Target is removing gender identification from children's toy aisle. So it won't be girls' toys and boys' toys. It'll just be toys. And we joked about it. So I did a joke about, I was doing a joke about it, and I said, you know, some, and I believe this, that some of our gender identification is kind of hardwired into us. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are taught. Now, and I'll tell you right up front, I don't think it matters whether you label toys for boys or girls. I think this is more for the parents than the kids. I think kids play with fun toys, and you never know what a kid's going to play with. And now, we live in an age of video games, and I said this on the show. Listen, when you're getting your ass kicked by someone in Madden football, for all you know, that's a 12-year-old girl in Japan. You know, that's how it is right now with video games, and I definitely agree that video games should have more badass female characters that girls can identify with, but I don't think it's gender-specific. I've never seen a gender aisle saying boys' video games, girls' video games. I've seen the aisle say that these video games are too much for kids, and there's no better way to market that game to kids than tell kids it's too violent for kids. Getting back to the point. So I think some things we're hardwired in. It goes back to, I don't know, to our caveman days. I'm not a scientist, but I'm just saying that, and this is the example I use. Women tend to like nesting. And what I mean by that is, women like decorating homes and making a house a home and stuff. That's not a knock against women. It's what it's been my experience that women like doing that sort of thing. So I was joking saying that. So when you go to IKEA, she brings you to IKEA, then you get the stuff home and you have to build the stuff, right? Cause you're being manly. And then the part of the joke I didn't get to, cause this show is a zoo, is that once you build it, she shows you how to build it right. Or I did another joke about you're not knowing that the Wuja goes into the Husha because it's IKEA instructions and you never get it. Anyway, so I had a few women on Twitter say get mad at me for saying that women like nesting. And one of them told me, we have a hashtag, women as engineers. And I told her, guess what? I've worked with women engineers. I used to work on planes. So this gets back to our whole, and this was the idea behind this segment, our politically correct society. Now, I don't think our whole society is. I think there's a group of people in our society, and that group of people changes with whatever the issue is, but they look to get offended. So the minute you talk about gender identification and toys, I think there's a group of women looking to get mad. So they heard me say women like nesting. You know what? Get over it, okay, because it's true. Listen, I'll say the same thing about men. Men and boys are violent. You give two boys a stick, they're going to figure out how to hit each other before they figure out how to play baseball. It's just the way we are. Get over it, okay? And I didn't have to apologize for the joke because I'm not a movie star. And I didn't get into a Twitter fight because, as I've said before, Twitter and Facebook are not real. You hear me, people? They're not real. They're in the ether. They're in the cyber world. When you chat with someone on Twitter, unless that person is someone you've seen pictures of or have met, you don't know if they're the same person as that avatar. Now, do you? Do you? No, you don't. That's why it's not real. You don't know who you're talking to. So hopefully, you know, you realize I am not the, I was even compared to Donald Trump, which I'm okay. That's the way you see it. I made a bad joke, and the joke fell flat, by the way, because the show was out of control, and I couldn't even get to the punchline. A couple of other jokes did work, but I can't say it was a great experience on that show. I give myself a 6 out of a 10 on that show. Hopefully I get to do it again and redeem myself. Never know. But anyway, that was the experience I had this week. And I've been interviewed over and over about this politically correct comedy thing, and I'm beginning to think, like, maybe they're right. Maybe we have completely lost our minds. When it's an actual issue over labeling children's toy aisles, you know what's a bigger issue? Starving children. How about we feed all the kids, and then we worry about whether or not they should have their toys labeled boy or girl? Because I promise you, if you turn 100 kids loose in a toy store, labels or no labels, they're going to find what they want to play with, and that's what they're going to play with, okay? Just my opinion. Another thing this week, and this was interesting, I don't know if you've heard about this. Now, you know, we as a nation don't like science. We don't trust science. We don't believe science. Science says climate change. We have a whole group of people who say, no, it doesn't exist. It's not getting hotter. Now, give me something cold to drink. Would you like something cold to drink? How about a Coke? Yeah, Coca-Cola is getting involved in the science game. Coca-Cola is now funding scientists to have them say, rather than reduce calories, you should exercise more. So what they're saying is that Coke isn't bad for you. Go ahead and drink that giant double big gulp size Coke, but be sure you exercise afterwards, which, as anybody knows, is ridiculous. If you want to lose weight, if you want to take care of your body, it has to be a combination of both exercise and monitoring your calories. And Coke is not the healthiest thing in the world to drink. Hey, it's okay to have a Coke now and then. Have a Coke and a smile. Why not? But you can't drink a gallon of Coke every day. And the funny thing about this is Coca-Cola as a company, as a brand, makes everything you drink. In other words, if you like soda, there's Coke and Diet Coke and Sprite and so on. But if you like orange juice, they own Minute Maid. And if you like water, they own, I believe, Dasani is theirs, or Aquafina, because it's one belongs to them, the other belongs to Pepsi, but they own them. They have an energy drink brand, and they have anything you drink, Coke makes. So why would they do this fake science thing? And didn't they learn from cigarettes? Now, you kids will have to Google this, but you know, back in the 50s and even in the 60s, when they were first saying, man, cigarettes are really bad for you, the tobacco companies paid scientists to say cigarettes are fine. And they had pictures of doctors smoking. None of those doctors are around anymore. But they had pictures of doctors smoking saying cigarettes won't hurt you. When a corporation pays for science, they're going to get the science they want. Just like when an individual pays for a politician, he's going to get the politician he wants, and so on and so forth. So, Coke, I think you're blowing it on this one. I think you're better off spending your money advertising, or maybe you should have financed Sesame Street and kept Sesame Street off HBO and keep it in the hands of the free people. I don't know, but That was kind of funny, kind of interesting this week. So that's it. That's my story. I don't know what's going on with you. Listen, I'm loving New York. I'm having a great week. The Mets are still winning. I got to go to a game. The Met pitching is amazing. As a Met fan, I can only say I wish it were mid-September rather than mid-August, because the Mets are more than capable of a meltdown right now. I'm finishing this week at Caroline's. Next week, I'll be in Rancho Cordova at Tommy T's, and the following weekend, I will be at Harrah's just outside of San Diego, gambling and joking. This is Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention and saying thank you for paying attention. Hey, lighten up. It's summertime. Don't even worry about the news. I appreciate you listening to this podcast, but trust me, there's nothing going on out there that's important, and don't worry about Donald Trump. He's going away.
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.